Thank you, Hilary. Thank you, guys. That's lovely. Yeah, in one sense, as we were singing that, I was thinking we should have had the word and sung all these songs afterwards. But, because we're talking tonight about being in God's presence. But we'll get to that in a little bit. As I was going to start by just, I don't know if you were here at all the Easter services. I was certainly here at most of them. And one of the things I'm going to miss about our minister, Gareth, he won't be listening to the podcast, so he won't get inflated by this. But one of the things I'm going to miss about him is his preaching. He has given us some great words over Easter. On Good Friday, for those of you who were here on Good Friday, Gareth was talking about what happens when, his phrase was, when we're squeezed, when things don't go to plan, when you're happily driving down the road and somebody cuts you up, or where you're patiently waiting in a queue and somebody decides that it's not really a queue, it's a free-for-all, and just pushes in front of you. And Gareth gave some, he was very honest and open about what happens to him in those circumstances. When something happens that makes us like this, and he was saying that that happened to Jesus 1,000 times over on the way to the cross, that he was spat at, he was joked at, he was unfairly treated, he was beaten, he was whipped, all those things he didn't deserve, and yet his inner character didn't change. His sovereignty, his divinity didn't change. He was as he is under any circumstances. And, we'll talk later, but to me, when we keep talking about living like Jesus, that's what living like Jesus, that's how he was. That's how sometimes we aren't. And then last Sunday at Encounter, we were talking about the resurrection, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Gareth was talking about the fact that if we've come to know God, then the Holy Spirit, come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit is in our lives, but it can be like a pilot light. Now, this shows Gareth's technical ability, because pilot lights haven't been in boilers for years, but those of us who have an old boiler or are old, like me, can remember the pilot light, and he was saying that so often we're running on pilot light, and we should be when the gas comes through and things take off. That's what we want, the spirit-filled life, the power of God working in us. And we've had two great sermons from Gareth. We had a great sermon from John this morning. And tonight you've got me, and basically you've got me because we couldn't find anybody else. And I feel a bit like once I gave a talk at, I can't remember where it was, but I was it was a work-related talk, and a woman came up to me afterwards and she said, Mr. Bell, do you have any expenses for tonight? And I said, no, JCB will pay all of those. And she said, oh, good, because we're saving up for a really good speaker next year. Yeah, you've got me, and bless Hilary for standing in as well, because we had on our rota, it just said TBA. So I'm TBA. But anyway, I've been really blessed, whether you're going to be blessed or not, I've been really blessed by preparing for tonight. So the passage we're looking at, and I don't have any overheads, and it would be helpful if you had a Bible. And it's on page 735 in the Bibles. And those of you looking on your digital devices, for you it's Isaiah chapter 48. We all know you're doing that just because you can't find the books in the Bible, and that's an easy way of... That's why I use it. It's a much easier way of finding things. So we're looking at this chapter in Isaiah, and later we're going to look, the verse that we're specifically looking at is verse 16, but I want to... Isaiah 48, it's on page 735 in the Church Bible. As I say, there's no PowerPoint. So this is Israel. This is the children of Israel, the people, God's people, living in a foreign land. They're living in Babylon. And verse 1 starts with these words, listen to this. And tonight's all about this word, listen. Listen to this. And he goes on with a sort of hint of sarcasm in this these first couple of verses. He says, you descendants of Jacob, you who are called by the name of Israel and come from the line of Judah, you who take oaths in the name of the Lord and invoke, you pray to the God of Israel, but not in truth and righteousness. You who call yourselves citizens of the holy city and claim to rely on the Lord God of Israel. The Lord God Almighty is his name. And I think God is saying here, I have this phrase that I do often use at work. There's a gap between the words and the music. So the music that's coming out of these of God's people here is the Lord God Almighty. They're calling on his name. They're outwardly, they seem to be God's people, but he says, nah, not in spirit and truth. That's not how it really is. You're saying one thing, but deep down, there's something else. And it's quite a rebuke, in a sense. And he goes on in verse 4 to say, I knew how stubborn you were. Your neck muscles were like iron. Your forehead was bronze. So he's saying, this people, you're stuck. You're stubborn. You're stuck in your ways. You're calling on me. You're saying all this stuff, but you're not listening, actually. You're not listening to what I'm saying. And it reminded me of Peter, you know, where we've just rehearsed all the stories of Easter, where Peter says to Jesus, yeah, Lord, whatever happens, count on me. I'll be there. And Jesus says, oh, well, maybe not, Peter. And we know it didn't quite work out like that, did it, with Peter? He was saying one thing, and actually, when the crunch came, he was not where he should have been. And so it was like that in Isaiah's day with God's people. It was like that in the New Testament, and it can be like that today. It can be like that today. We can be here tonight. We can be all, you know, it's all great. And then the next minute, something happens. We have that gut-wrenching, that horrible feeling. I've let you down, Lord. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. And so you could conclude from that, well, that's just how it is. It was like that in the Old Testament. It was like that in the New Testament. It's like that today. I don't believe that that's how it is. And you know, the last time I spoke in January, I was saying that if we want our lives, if we want to live like Jesus, something has to change. It's no good just listening to, frankly, Gareth's great sermons. We can listen to the sermon. We had a great sermon this morning about living in the power of the Spirit. It's not going to change our lives. Now, that, I don't mean that in a wrong sense, but just listening to stuff and hearing it and thinking that's great and then walking out, it isn't going to change our lives. Something has to happen. So if we go back, as I say, we look at verse 8 here, and he says, you've neither heard or understood from your old ears, from of old, your ears have not been open. And I think this is the key to this whole passage. What's he saying here? He's saying, you're saying this stuff, you're living amongst all these other people, you're pretending almost to be my people, but you're not listening to me, you're not hearing me. And in this passage, this whole passage, and that's why I wanted to look at it, not just the verse we're looking at, we hear the words listen 7 times, and 12 times God speaks. And so he's basically saying, because you didn't listen to me, you went astray and things were bad. If you had listened to me, things would have been much better. And we'll look at that in a bit. And in verse 11, we see God can't help himself. His very nature is not to give up on them. And so again, we see that in verse 11. And then in verse 14, we see these words, come together, all of you, and listen. And listen. And then he says, which of these idols, these things of wood and stone, which of those have told you anything? And I think it is great that God does not want us to lose heart. He doesn't want us to lose heart. And the thing that I feel, and we can discuss it later if you don't feel the same. These people were living in a foreign land. They were living in Babylon. And I think we're living increasingly in a foreign land. We're living in a land that is foreign, where being Christians, having Christian values, we're seen as a bunch of weirdos or a bunch of bigots who've got an opinion on something. And some of the stuff recently has been really nasty. I don't know if any of you have seen that Philip Schofield TV interview on Breakfast, where there was a lady on talking about kids and whether we should be, you know, discussing their sexuality when they're, you know, 5 years old or whatever. And Philip Schofield was just nasty. He said, I found that conversation utterly abhorrent. And he finished that segment by saying, well, let's return to 2017 rather than medieval Britain. And made this woman look absolutely awful. And Tim, my son, he's a Ricky Gervais fan. And recently he's been saying, Dad, have you heard what Ricky's, you know, Ricky Gervais is now, there's no God, there's no heaven, there's no spirituality there. That's all, you're all believing in fairy stories. It's all made up stuff. And that's his actual words. It's all fairy stories. It's all made up. Stephen Hawking, who's just died, we're going to bury him in Westminster Abbey, can you believe it? But we are. He's on the record as saying there is no God, there is no heaven. And yet he's going to be buried next to, I think, Isaac Newton, who did believe that there is a God and there is a heaven. And Stephen Fry, if you've heard Stephen Fry speak, he hates God. And he is vehemently against anything to do with God. This is the land in which we're living. These are the people, these are the celebrities in the country in which we live. And I've not talked about Dawkins, I've not talked about the people who are openly anti, but I believe that we live increasingly in a foreign land, in a land where Christian values are seen as just not acceptable anymore. And if we read our papers, if we look at the media, it is continually sort of digging away at our faith. And so I think we are living in this country. We don't have, you know, the gods of wood and iron that they're talking about, that Isaiah's talking about here, but we have our equivalents of the gods of wood and iron, and we have our gods, celebrity star gods that we call upon. So I think if we grasp, it's important, I'm sure you already know this, but if I'm reminding you, it's important we recognise where we live. It's important we understand the culture that we're living in. And here's the thing, if all we feed our minds with is what's on the telly and what's on the radio and what's in the newspaper and what's in the magazines and what we're talking about at work and what everybody else is talking about. If that's what we fill our minds with, that's what we'll fill our thoughts with, because that's what we're taking in all the time. All this stuff around us, we don't have to do anything, as I said last time I spoke. It just happens. And that's what was happening to these people here in Babylon. They were so caught up in the culture of Babylon that they weren't listening. And so the text that I was set tonight, we will get to it eventually if you are listening, Gareth, is verse 16, which says this. Sorry, I've turned over two pages, it didn't say verse 16. It says this. Come near and listen to this. From the first announcement, I have not spoken in secret. At the time it happens, I am there. And now the Sovereign Lord has sent me, endowed with his Spirit. Many people believe, as you know, the rest of Isaiah talks about the coming Christ, the Lord Jesus. And many believe that this is an actual reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus. The Sovereign Lord has sent me, endowed with his Spirit. And this is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you'd paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, and your well-being like the waves of the sea. Wow. The Lord's saying, I know what's best for you. Don't listen to all this stuff that's going around. If you only listen to me, you would hear what is best for you. And you'd have peace. It is sometimes I don't know whether I'm just feeble, but you hear all this stuff and you're thinking, flipping heck. Where am I living? And it is a bit scary. And the Sovereign Lord is saying, come and listen to me. You'll have peace like a river. I love those the verse that talks about where are we? Your well-being like the waves of the sea. You just whoosh, restoring, whoosh, refreshing, whoosh, peace coming over you. He wants to make us well in this turmoil of the land in which we're living. And I think the point is this, that obviously this is the Old Testament we're talking about now, and Isaiah goes on to prophesy about the coming Saviour. But we live in the days of resurrection. We're in the days of the New Testament. We're in the days of the Holy Spirit. This isn't all a mystery to us. And I want to remind us and encourage us by what Jesus is saying. I've told you these things, in John he says, so that you may have peace. It's the same. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And then when God talked about his son, he said this, this is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. What did he say? Next, listen to him. Jesus called the crowd to him. He said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. John 10, he's talking about the sheep, and he says, my sheep, the gatekeeper opens the gate for them, and my sheep listen to my voice. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And they know me. So our text tonight talks about coming close to God. In verse 16 we read again. Come near to me and listen to this. Come near to me and listen to this. And I've, this is the same theme I was on the last time I spoke. brothers and sisters, I think we have. This isn't getting up in the morning saying, Lord, thank you for this new day. Fill me afresh with your spirit. Forgive me for anything I've gone wrong. Vroom, I'm off into the new day. This is not what we're talking about. This is come near and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Be still and know that I am God. Search my heart, Lord. We can't do that in 2 minutes, in 2 seconds. That is, we're talking about spending time with God. And those of you who heard me speak, some of you weren't here the last time I spoke, so most of you were. So you're going to get this again. But I love this time when Dan Rather interviewed Mother Teresa. It's worth hearing again. So this was live on TV, and Dan Rather says to Mother Teresa, when you pray, what do you say? And Mother Teresa said, I don't say much. I just listen. And Dan Rather says, okay, what does God say to you then? She said, he doesn't say much either. He just listens. And if you don't understand that, I can't explain it to you. And to me, that is so powerful. Mother Teresa spent an hour a day just alone with God. And you show me a great man or a great woman of God, and I will show you somebody who spends an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, time alone with God, listening, reading his word, praying, being silent with him. That's it tonight, folks. I believe I am trying to practice what I preach. I am trying to spend more time with God. I know you're going to say, well, you've got more time now. I believe me, ask anybody who is retired or semi-retired, they fill their lives completely up with stuff anyway. So it's just as hard to make time when you're retired as it is when you're working. But to me, if we're going to change from the inside out, if we're going to be the people that are squeezed and out of us comes love and joy and peace and kindness and patience and goodness, we need to abide in the vine. That's what Jesus said, abide in me, then you'll produce that sort of fruit. And I believe that that's what he's calling us to do. He's calling us in this verse to come and draw near and listen to him and spend time with him, because he wants to give us peace. He wants to give us refreshing. He wants to give us, in this foreign land with all this stuff, he wants us to feel secure.